The CGT Outbound Supply Chain Tool was published in March 2024 by the BioForum Cell and Gene Therapy Supply Chain Workstream. They have been working together since January 2023, and we heard from two of the representatives in a previous podcast about their experience working in a cross-industry team, the process of creating the tool, and the benefits to participating in the workstream. Work has moved on to the next development phase, mapping out disruptions that can occur during therapy transportation. And I'm speaking to Maria Rende from Sartorius Stedham and Kelly Friend, Cencora World Courier, to hear what they hope to achieve from the next edition of the tool, how they want to benefit from creating it, and what value they expect to deliver to the wider industry by publishing this work. So let's start with you doing a brief introduction of yourselves. Maria, over to you.
So, hi everyone, my name is Maria Rende and I work for a company called Sartorius Stedham. My current role is Advanced Application Manager, and I look after the cell and gene therapy expertise.
And over to you, Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly Friend. I work for World Courier, which is part of the Cencora company. I'm the senior manager for personalised supply chain, so looking after cell and gene therapy service line as well as DTP.
Thanks for joining me today. We'll start with the first question, which was, following publication of the first edition of the tool showing the different pathways CGT therapies take in the outbound supply chain, what feedback have you received from peers on the value of documenting it?
We received great feedback, firstly from within the BioForum organization. Other workstream members have appreciated its unique design, the easy visualization of the different therapeutic pathways, and especially the multi-level drop-down information, which made the navigation throughout the document very straightforward. It was also very rewarding to find out that a high number of downloads has been made from the BioForum website in a short time frame by a range of organizations, and truly see the tool being used so widely was kind of rewarding.
Yeah, definitely.
And there was an exceptional high interest from within my company of getting know the path finder to improve their understanding of cell and gene therapy supply chain functional areas. So we were really satisfied so far with the outcome indeed.
Yeah, and just to add on from what Maria said, it kind of came at a fortuitous time. It was in the middle of conference season, so the opportunity was there for me to be able to mention this in the slides when I was presenting at one of the conferences in Singapore, but also internally being able to share that we're part of this forum. And if you've got any questions, you know, especially when you're looking at logistics and you'll have pockets of where those activities are taking place and that you have those dedicated teams that are dealing with either specific customers or cell and gene customers, but perhaps maybe don't always get the opportunity to look at it on a wider scale. So pointing them in the direction of BioForum and being able to navigate through. So although it's useful for industry and experts that you have in there as well, and small biotechs that are coming through, it's also really useful for those that are less experienced that are just within the general part of the logistics supply chain, so that they can take something out of it and learn a bit more about, you know, what happens before I'm making that collection of this material or that material, and then what's the journey like after that point, because there's so many things that happen before we get to the point of the patient receives their administration, but then there's also things that happen thereafter, so that I think it gives them a good appreciation and you know, and you can just hit a box and then it can take you to the next phase, if you like, of what you're looking at. So yeah, I was really pleased the way that came together.
Yeah, that's great, thank you. And what disruptions are unique to the CGT outbound supply chain that we don't see in a more traditional supply chain?
So in conventional supply chains, functional areas work way more independently, and disruption in any part of the chain can be, let's say, better handled. For example, a thorough supplier selection program at a manufacturer size can ensure that services and raw materials are comfortably meeting the standards. Of, on the other hand, a clinical team can easily plan a clinical trial based on their internal readiness. Instead, in cell and gene therapy outbound supply chains, as functional areas work so closely together to ensure therapies are delivered in a narrow time window, disruption can really create a kind of domino effect and cause the potential failure in delivery, in delivering a therapy, basically. So imagine a patient is recruited to receive a therapy. So then a manufacturing scheduled accordingly, and all of a sudden the quality of the product doesn't meet release criteria, or there is a delay with transportation, or a failure in the controlled temperature storage, or in reverse, a product is ready to be administered and the patient is not recruited on time. Or the product is mishandled at the point of delivery. So as you can see, the chain becomes so complex that delivering these therapies to patients requires, I will say, a next level of awareness and kind of agility that we don't find in traditional supply chains at all.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. There's so much collaboration that goes into moving starting material to moving the final product and the pieces in between that can affect those coming from the logistics standpoint. You know, part of the readiness for us was leveraging the network that we have by putting those dedicated resources in place, because, you know, it's all about accessibility, about visibility, you know, knowing where everything is and at what point are we on time. If we're not on time, what is then going to happen? So, you know, we've had instances where, which thankfully are rare, where the material it has been ready and we are prepared to go and make that delivery, but unfortunately the patient may have experienced COVID or for whatever reason is unable to have that administration at that particular time. So then there becomes the, is there going to be on-site short-term storage? Is there going to be off-site short-term storage? Was that thought of, you know, as part of the overall supply chain? Was that part of the qualification of an extra vendor, just in case we're in a position where if we're feeding materials from either a domestic or a regional setting, should there be a disruption of that type of nature, where is it that we're going to be able to house those materials safely until the patient, you know, is going to be in a position where they are clear of COVID or whatever infection or the reason for the delay happens to be? And then, you know, maybe that could be a week, it could be 2 weeks. So how do we make sure that temperature control is, you know, factored in obviously as part of the logistics, but also potentially for short term or, you know, medium term storage, should that be the case? But these are all things that, you know, we can call out through these types of tools just to make sure that the thought provocation is there. Okay, oh, hold on a minute, I hadn't thought about that. And if I'm going from, you know, Europe into the UK or UK out into Europe, and I perhaps maybe don't have a partner there that I can then call upon to do this storage, does that mean then that I have to ship this all the way back to the UK or all the way back to the EU? So at least then you can, you know, you're keeping an eye on what would be the cost implications if you do have to do one of those three things. So yeah, you know, for me it's just, we all have to do our bit. Everyone has to make sure that either an action or inaction is not going to result in that disruption. But of course, supply chains, logistics, we all know that, you know, sometimes your plan A doesn't quite work out for various reasons. That could be force majeure or you know, some of the activities that we're seeing in the UK today, right? That could prevent you from making those deliveries and making them safely. So how is it that we navigate around those? And is it going to be a contingency that is a just-in-time contingency, i.e. that you're having to deal with something on the hop? Or is it something that you factor in as part of the legwork before you get to the point that you actually have your patient recruited?
Yeah, so it certainly sounds like there's a lot of disruptions there to map out as part of this tool. And so as part of that disruptions mapping, are you also hoping to include some solutions too? I'm sure that's quite a lot of work for one collaboration.
Yes, we are considering moving forward to include in the map out some further recommendation on how to prevent disruptions and possibly mitigate their impacts. Ultimately, our mission is making sure that safer and more affordable products are delivered to patients. So we really want to make sure once we map out the disruption, then solution can be provided to mitigate the risk. So I think this will be next level moving forward. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just thinking about what could happen, it is how do we either prevent or mitigate against some of those factors so that you're prepared. You know, it's all about making an informed decision. And am I going to go route A because this has happened, or am I going route B because that has happened? So, you know, you can factor those things in ahead of time. I mean, we can't cover everything. There's always going to be something else that pops up that will probably surprise us. But for the most part, when you're collaborating with all of the parties that could be involved within these therapies being developed and delivered, you know, you can whittle those down, and hopefully you'll be in a position where the effect of something happening or the chances of something happening are reduced by a much greater degree. And, you know, what I've seen where we've been liaising with companies within BioForum, but also just generally within the cell and gene market, is you have so many touch points with the manufacturers, with the developers, with the sites that perhaps maybe you wouldn't have had before. You would have had your exchanges maybe with a sole party who's just taking all of that on. Here's what I want you to do. You do the collection, you do the delivery, and you're doing the manufacturing, and you're doing this and this over there. Whereas cell and gene, people are much more likely to come together and have those discussions and invite the challenges and the discussions that need to take place rather than perhaps maybe shying away from them. So that's been quite exciting to be a part of over the last sort of 6-7 years.
Yeah. So by creating transparency around the possible challenges, do you anticipate this work could contribute to a more resilient CGT supply chain?
Yes, I reckon it will. It will definitely raise awareness on the recurrent supply chain risk. And as part of our outcome, it will be learning, improving and delivering. So we are learning from each other's experience, making sure that we are improving the outbound supply chain, making more resilient, and then delivering a better best practice kind of guidelines for whoever is approaching the supply chain and has some questions or some doubts and would like to mitigate the delivery of a specific product at their site. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think within the cell and gene landscape that, you know, people are afraid to share their experiences, you know, perhaps maybe where they've tripped up or the challenges that have, you know, been overcome because some have forged that way before others, right? And they've shared that experience with the smaller and newer biotechs that are coming through, the new therapies that are coming through. They're they're not concerned about providing, look, here's been my experience. And also when we were dealing in the early days of moving shipments, that we weren't in the position where we were seeing materials that were going into be QP released, and then we were going on from there. So it was quite a long process when you were going from A to B. And now you might see that things happen in parallel. But this has been the nice thing about having the bioforum, where you can map out, you know, these are the things that we have seen, or here's the experience that we have had. And that helps them to think, oh, hold on a minute. So for mine, this is the way I see mine going, or it kind of fits in here. But maybe I'm going to borrow a couple of bits that come from the bucket over there. So it just opens up the possibilities, you know, and it all comes from sharing, being able to move as things evolve, and, you know, never sort of sitting still. Things are continuously improving, and we're all moving on that journey together.
Yeah, that's right. And so you're working across industry with biomanufacturing organisations and logistics providers. Is there anyone else you feel should contribute to this work who is currently missing from the team?
Yes, we would like to see more representatives from the clinical side in the work stream. First of all, because we would like to give a voice to their needs, which I think are very important. Very often have been kind of ignored. We needed to understand what do they require on site to make sure that such a important product is delivered appropriately and to the patient at the care site, right? And perhaps those needs are missed so far, are not perceived by us, because each of us is representing a different industry, brings a different expertise. So we are in need of having someone from the clinical side to make sure that their needs it's basically met, and it's included in the work. Yes.
Yeah. How is it that we factor in supporting them adopting these therapies? You know, it's not going to be just one or two. It could be that they've got double digits that they're going to be providing that kind of care to those kind of patients. And especially, you know, when you're looking at specialist centres, okay, well, they probably have the bandwidth to deal with these kind of things. But as Maria said, we don't have that voice, and it will be really nice to have their voice there. But also is looking at, as you move further away from specialist centres and the different types of indications that could be treated, you know, what are the questions or concerns that they might have? And, you know, could it be something as simple as, oh, I've never seen a temperature control box, and what happens when, you know, a logistics provider turns up, and how would I know who they are? And, you know, when I open the box, what's it going to look like, and how quickly are they going to be able to place the materials in there and then move them on from there? So they might have questions that perhaps maybe 20 years ago these centres would have been thinking about and asking as well, but now they're all so well versed, and the, you know, the handling manuals that they provide, or the conversations that we all have together, it's all there to support them. But outside of that is, you know, do we have the big hitters that potentially, you know, I've not seen so much of, that we now see coming into the market and are playing a big role? Obviously the CDMOs, the CROs that are there to help support, perhaps, maybe, well, it could be big biotech, but more than likely it is the small to mid biotechs that they're helping with setting up their clinical trials, and how is it that they're going to be moving this hopefully great therapeutic product to the sites that they need to get them to, you know, helping them with the patient recruitment and the patient pools that they're going to be looking at. You know, and the only other one that I could think of off the top of my head, perhaps maybe, do we have the ability to bring on board a patient advocacy group Because as we then look at spreading out into other areas, for example, India, there could be lots of interest that we have there. And how is that going to happen? What does that look like? And, we can have their input as coming from the side of the patient, because there's so many things that are happening for the patient, from the diagnosis to what happens with my treatment, what does it look like, and where do I go, who do I see, all of the questions that you would expect them to have. But then also you're then looking at whether, if it is not a commercial product, if they are taking part in a clinical trial, what does that really mean, and how do they get the resource to support them for that? So I think perhaps maybe that would also be a really nice piece, because that also then supports the hospital side of it as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. There's certainly a real call to arms there for us to reach out to more organisations for collaboration. Is there anything else that you wanted to say as part of this conversation?
A really good experience as far as being able to be a part of something that is organic, and that everyone's having a bit of input, and that you're able to have those discussions. And it might be, you think that you have a good idea, and then someone else has one, and then all of a sudden it just turns into, an even better idea, because we're all talking about it together. So for me, definitely these types of tools and these types of resources, they have to be there. And, we should be in a position where, the experience, and quality and caliber of the people that we have involved is there to be shared with others. And the more, the merrier. So bringing more on board, even better.
You can never have too much conversation, can you?
Never.
No, I agree.
That's great. If you are a CDMO, clinical research site, or patient advocacy group, then we would love you to bring your voice to the conversation. Share your knowledge and take value from the experience of others while helping to build greater understanding and resiliency in the cell and gene therapy outbound supply chain. For more information on participating in BioForum, please contact us via the website or on hello@bioforum.com. You can download the Cell and Gene Therapy Outbound Supply Chain tool from the content library on bioforum.com.